Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been following the teachings of Christ to his disciples about life in him. And now as we continue our study, we'll be looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit as described by Jesus. So let's follow along in the 14th chapter as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And you remember as we approach these chapters here, chapters 14 through 16, initially, I talked to you about how these chapters are that intimate conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples, those men who had followed him closely and would ultimately be sent out with the gospel into the world. And it's here in these chapters that Jesus introduces them really to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is all because Jesus is going to depart. Now, they hadn't really understood that that was going to happen. And in these chapters, he's breaking the news to them. But as he's breaking the news of his departure, of his return back to the Father, he's also letting them know that the Holy Spirit is going to come and basically take up the work that Jesus began. And so all through chapters 14, 15, and 16, we saw different points where Jesus would speak about the Holy Spirit. And as I told you, I wanted to come back and sort of put that all together in one study. And so we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit as Jesus described it here in these chapters 14, 15, and 16. Now, the Holy Spirit, of course, is God along with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit has chosen to be the one person within the divine nature who sort of is in the background. The Holy Spirit's ministry is not one where he's real up front, but he's in the background. He's serving the Father and he's glorifying the Son. And that's an important thing to understand because there are many today who have a distorted view of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And they have meetings that are basically Holy Spirit meetings. And there they call upon the Holy Spirit, and there they seek to ostensibly glorify the Holy Spirit. But yet, the Holy Spirit's role is not really to glorify himself. It's to glorify Christ. And if we have that as a foundational understanding, that'll help us to be able to discern when the Holy Spirit is really at work and when something else is happening. Now, in verse 16 of chapter 14, this is where Jesus first introduces to them this promise of the Spirit's coming. And he says in verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So again, Jesus is telling them, I'm going to be leaving. And they did not understand that. They had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And of course, the scriptures had taught that the Messiah would set up an everlasting kingdom. So how could Jesus be talking about leaving? What is that all about? Well, they didn't understand the two comings of the Messiah. They didn't understand his initial coming was to redeem man from sin, and then he would depart, and there would be a great harvest of souls that would come in, and then he would return again to set up God's everlasting kingdom. They didn't understand that at all. And so Jesus is breaking this news to them, and as you can imagine, their hearts are troubled, and we looked at that back in the first verse of chapter 14. They're troubled by all of this, but Jesus tells them, I'm going to send you, or I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you another helper or another comforter. The Greek word is parakletos, and that's made up of two words that mean to come alongside. Para means to come alongside, and kletos means to assist, to aid, to help, to comfort even. And so Jesus says, I'm going to send you the parakletos, the one who comes alongside to help. But I want you to notice what he says. He says, I'm going to give you another helper. And this word is so vitally important to our understanding, this word another, because it means another of the same kind. So what Jesus is promising is that I'm going to send you somebody who is just exactly like me. Another of the same kind. Now, why is that important to know? It's important to know because there's been a lot of confusion over the ministry of the Holy Spirit, over the activity of the Holy Spirit, over the kinds of things that the Holy Spirit does or things that perhaps he wouldn't do. And here is just a basic rule of thumb where, again, you can get a pretty good sense of where the Holy Spirit is truly moving. Whatever the Holy Spirit does is going to be just like what Jesus did or would do. So to know what the Holy Spirit does, we simply go back in the Gospels and we read about the ministry of Jesus, and then we understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit because he is coming to do the same things Jesus was doing. He's basically, as I said, he's coming to take up the ministry where Jesus leaves off because Jesus is going back to heaven. Now, what's the distinction or you know, why did the Holy Spirit have to come rather than Jesus stay and just carry on his work himself? This is the reason. Jesus came in a human body. And because of that human body, he was limited. He was limited to location. His activity was limited because of his humanity. The Holy Spirit doesn't have that limitation. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is actually greater than the ministry of Jesus in that it's able to go far beyond one particular location. Jesus could only minister really in a particular location. Now, he was able, of course, to heal people at a distance and things like that. But Jesus, because of his physical limitation, he couldn't be in two places at once. He couldn't be everywhere at once. Let's think about this for a moment. Another helper just like me. So what do we see Jesus doing? Well, we see Jesus blessing people. We see Jesus ministering. We see him comforting. We see him healing. We see him providing, protecting. We see him doing all kinds of wonderful things. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes along and he just continues that work of Jesus. Now, notice we don't see Jesus doing any weird stuff. do we? When you read the Gospels, is there anything that Jesus did that you thought, oh, that was weird? Man, that was freaky. I'm glad I wasn't there for that. No, I mean, he did some astounding things. He did some amazing things, but he didn't do any weird things. And why am I emphasizing that? Because over the years, some of the weirdest stuff in the world has gone on in the church, and it's been attributed to the Holy Spirit. But look, the Holy Spirit is just doing the things that Jesus did. And Jesus did not do weird things. Jesus did not go into, you know, different kinds of spastic movements and fits and things like that. But have you ever seen people that say that they're under the influence of the Spirit and they're doing all this weird twitching and stuff like that? Hey, some people say the Spirit of God is coming upon them and they're, you know, they're going into these spasmodic kinds of things. That's not the Holy Spirit. Some people go into hysterical fits of laughter, laughing uncontrollably to the point where they're falling on the ground and they can't get up, and they say, well, this is the Holy Spirit moving. Do you ever see Jesus doing anything like that? No, we don't see Jesus doing anything like that. You know, there are those that a few years back, they were talking about being drunk in the Spirit. And they would go to these services and they would get drunk in the Spirit, they would say. And then they'd start tripping over each other and falling down. And at times they would go out into public. And I remember seeing footage of people, they went into supermarkets and things like that, and they were bumping into the, you know, items in the aisles and knocking down cereal boxes and dog food cans and creating a mess. And you know, well, they couldn't help it. They were under the influence of the Spirit. They were drunk in the Spirit. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. Jesus never did anything like that. You ever read anywhere where Jesus started barking or howling or quacking or oinking or mooing? These are all the things that people have done and saying the Holy Spirit is moving. You see, this is what you can know for sure. You walk into a room and that kind of activity is going on. You can know this. The Spirit of God is not present. The Spirit of God is not moving. The Spirit of God is not doing these things, because this is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And he does the things that Jesus did. And so when you walk into an atmosphere that's charged with weirdness, you know that that's not the Lord. Now, how is it that Christian people don't realize that? How is it that Christian people could get off into thinking that all of this bizarre kind of behavior could somehow be the Lord? The only conclusion I can draw is they simply do not read their Bible. They do not understand what the Scriptures say. They haven't taken the time to study it. And they open themselves up and they feel like, well, this is different. This is strange. This must be God. But God is not weird. So they're drawing the wrong conclusion. I will send you another helper, just like me. So here's how we know the Holy Spirit is present. When we sense the presence of Christ, when we feel the love of Christ and that warmth of Christ and that compassion of Christ and that concern of Christ and all of those things, that's how we know the Spirit is really moving in a service. It's not by these other crazy kinds of things that go on. So I will send you another helper. And you don't have to be afraid, because he's going to be just like me. You know, when I was a kid, there was a Pentecostal church on the corner of the street that I lived on. And my friends and I, we would occasionally visit the Pentecostal church down on the corner. And I have to confess, we did it strictly for entertainment purposes. And I'll tell you, it was entertaining. It was a little bit scary, too. I remember I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I'd go in there, and boy, they'd start, you know, going off in what they said was tongues, and people would be running around and doing all kinds of things. And, you know, we'd get to laughing. It wasn't holy laughter. And we'd have to run out of the place, and we'd get chased out. Quite often as well. But, you know, I remember walking out there thinking, that was weird. That was scary. That was freaky. Did not in any way, shape, or form draw me to the Lord or make me want to inquire about the Lord. It really made me want to just stay away from that place. And there's just been so much of that, sadly, that has turned people off. And then what happens is people see that and they say, you know, that's not the Holy Spirit. And then they go to an extreme and say, there is no ministry of the Holy Spirit for today. That passed, and so we shouldn't look for any of that, you know, supernatural kind of activity. We shouldn't be looking for the gifts or anything like that. That's all from another age, and we don't have any of that today. And that's another extreme. And that's not right either. We have to come to the biblical balance. There is a present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. There is the power of the Holy Spirit. There are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in our next study. But as Paul would go to great lengths to tell us, he said, all these things must be done decently and in order. And he said, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, people aren't just taken over by the Holy Spirit and, you know, uncontrollably then going into these kinds of things. Some people have been afraid, oh, I don't know, I don't really want to have an experience with the Holy Spirit because I don't want to lose control. The Holy Spirit will take control of me and I'll do some bizarre thing. No, that's not what happens. Because the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God does not take us over to the point where we lose control. He lets us maintain control. But we'll talk about that when we get to the gifts. But going back here to the promise of Jesus, he said that he would give another helper and that he would abide with you forever. So Jesus is going to leave, but he gives the assurance, the Spirit, when he comes, he will remain with you permanently. He will never leave. And so the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the apostles 2,000 years ago, he's still with us, and he will be with us until the end of the age. Remember, Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He was talking about his presence being with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, he also here refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And this is vitally important. What does this tell us? It tells us that where the Holy Spirit is truly at work, truth will prevail. Truth will be prominent. Truth will be the foundation of everything that's going on. So again, when you have ministries that are led into deception and promoting deception, doesn't matter what kind of spiritual activity might be going on or how supernatural the atmosphere might seem to be, this is what you can know. This is not the Spirit of God. You see, the reality is, demons, they will come and they will seek to bring a false experience to people and have people think that it's the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of what goes on is, I think, in some of these real wild and crazy settings, a lot of it is just human flesh gone out of control. But in some cases, it goes beyond human activity, and there's demonic activity that happens. And we have to be aware of that. Satan is an imitator. He's a counterfeiter. And so there's a Holy Spirit, there's going to be an evil spirit. And God will work through the Holy Spirit, and the devil will bring along the evil spirits and try to imitate what God is doing. But it's not holy, it's not pure, it's not based on truth, it's not righteous, it doesn't promote Jesus Christ and bring glory to him. He is the Spirit of truth. And this is why he blesses and honors those who gather around his word, because the word is his truth. And so the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with his word, the word of truth. But the world cannot see him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. And Jesus said to them, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now you see, at that time, the Holy Spirit had not yet indwelt them because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Spirit was with them at this point. He was alongside of them. Now, since Jesus died, rose again, and ascended, and since the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that experience of the Holy Spirit being with us is no longer really the case, except in the sense that the Holy Spirit is with us when convicting us and leading us to Christ. But Jesus isn't talking about that in this particular situation here. He's talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is with them, alongside them, even helping them at that time. Because remember, they went out to share the gospel. They went out to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to do all the things that Jesus was doing. And they were doing that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who was with them, alongside of them. But once Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit was then sent. And actually, once he died and rose again, the Spirit came in the indwelling sense. He said, the Spirit is with you, and he will be in you. And we read in John chapter 20 of how Jesus, after he was resurrected, he met with his disciples in that upper room. And maybe you remember, it says that he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit took up residence in them. The Holy Spirit began to indwell them. It was at that moment that they were born of the Spirit. Now, of course, they're walking through this historical situation. We have come along much farther down the road. So for us, the moment we receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit comes and dwells within us. He shall be in you. Every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him or her. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, then you're not a child of God. You're not a Christian in the biblical sense. Because everyone who receives Christ has the Spirit dwelling in them. So the Holy Spirit indwells us. He comes and takes up residence within us. Now, over in verse 26 of this same chapter, Jesus tells us more about the ministry of the Spirit. He says, these things I have spoken to you, verse 25, while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So here's another facet of the work of the Holy Spirit. He will, first of all, teach you all things. It's the Holy Spirit who is our teacher, really. The reason I can teach and the reason you can learn is because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, the natural man, according to Paul, does not receive the things of the Spirit. He can't even really know them. They're foolishness to him. And maybe you remember a time in your life when the things of the Spirit seemed foolish to you. None of this stuff made any sense. You didn't know the significance of Jesus Christ. You couldn't understand the gospel. And you would hear this stuff, and it just seemed like it went in one ear and out the other, and there just seemed to be a shroud of darkness over your mind when it came to understanding these things. But something happened. You came to that moment where you cried out to the Lord and you received Christ, and all of a sudden it was like the lights went on, and then you began to read the Bible and it made sense to you. And it all became so clear. Or maybe it's all becoming so clear. And you're thinking, how could I have missed this before? How come I didn't see this? Why wasn't I able to grasp it? Because you didn't have the Spirit dwelling in you. But now that the Spirit is in you, the Spirit is teaching you. He's opened your understanding. He's revealing these things to you. And now it's all making sense. It's all becoming clearer and clearer. So he teaches us all things. And Jesus said he will bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you.
We'll continue with more of this fascinating study of the Holy Spirit in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues to guide us through the Gospel of John. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3259. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.